children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
Some people say, you are what you eat. But maybe they should be saying, you are what you think. Just like we need to be careful what kind of food we put into our bodies, we need to guard what kind of thoughts we put into our minds.
From Philippians 4, verse 8.
Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things.
Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, think about such things.
Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, think about such things.
If anything is excellent,
excellent.
If anything is praiseworthy,
praiseworthy. Think about such things.
Such a great way to praise the Lord. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
John, may I speak with you a moment?
Of course, Matthew. But I imagine I already know what you're going to say. It's
It's Peter.
You heard about it, too?
I suppose that just about all the brethren have. The ones I've talked to are surprised and offended that Peter would go to the home of a Gentile and preach to an assembly of Gentiles.
Most of the brethren I've talked to think Peter was presumptuous and that it will have the effect of counteracting his teaching.
But you and I, Matthew, know Peter. And we know he would do nothing unless he was sure, absolutely sure, it was according to the will of Jesus.
I agree, John, but the brethren do not know Peter as we know him. Unless he hurries back and has a plausible and indisputable reason, there may be a split in the church. Well, certainly a disagreement.
Well, we'll just have to pray and wait.
John, I have thought, prayed, and meditated, and I cannot think of a single reason why Peter would have stepped over the bounds between Israelite and Gentile. He should be severely censured.
He has no right to go into a Gentile's home and eat and visit or whatever he did. It'll bring disgrace upon us, our church, and Jesus.
I didn't think Peter would do that. The devil must have gotten to him somehow.
Well, John, Peter is coming to Jerusalem. He'll be here possibly today, or at least by tomorrow morning.
We'd better call a meeting of all the believers. They're getting quite upset and concerned. Peter will allay their fears, I'm sure.
Peter, sir, we hear that you were a guest in the home of a Gentile. You even ate with them. Certainly, you need not be told that this will bring disgrace upon our church and hinder the spreading of the gospel.
Brethren, I was praying in the city of Joppa, and I had a vision. I saw heaven opened, and something coming down that looked like a large sheet being lowered by its four corners. It stopped next to me. I looked closely inside and saw all manner of four-footed animals and beasts and reptiles and wild birds. And I heard a voice say unto me, Get up, Peter, kill and eat. But I said, Certainly not, Lord. No defiled or unclean food has ever entered my mouth. The voice from heaven spoke again, Do not consider anything unclean that God has declared clean. This happened three times. Then the sheet, with all that was in it, was drawn back up into heaven.
Certainly, the animals in the vision did not have reference to actually eating unclean things. What then did it mean?
I wondered myself at the time. And behold, as soon as the vision had ended, there were three men come to the house where I was. They were sent from Caesarea to get me. The Spirit told me to go with them without hesitation. Knowing how you, my brethren, and others would feel, I took the precaution to take six brethren with me to witness all that was said and done. We all went to Caesarea, into the house of Captain Cornelius.
Cornelius? Oh, he's a generous man with his kindness, his time and money, a godly man, but still he is a Gentile.
The captain had gathered together his kinfolk and friends to hear the gospel. He told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house who said to him, Send someone to Joppa to call for a man whose full name is Simon Peter. He is living with Simon the Tanner. He will speak words to you by which you and all your family will be saved. The vision I saw admonished me, in fact, commanded me not to look upon Gentiles as unclean and defiling.
Did you baptize them into our church?
I did.
Was that the right thing to do?
I can only answer that by telling you what I saw and what happened. As I began to explain to them the way of salvation, the Holy Spirit fell on them as on us at the beginning.
Gentiles were filled with the Holy Spirit?
When this happened, then I remembered what the Lord Jesus had said. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.
Frankly, Brother Peter, I do not fully understand the connection between the baptism of John and what happened in Caesarea.
The angel in my vision told me not to consider anything unclean unless God had pronounced it unclean. Jesus never considered any human unclean. They are not unclean, for did he not create them all? Remember how he spoke to the woman at the well, how he touched and healed lepers, how he healed the centurion's servant.
Jesus didn't consider anyone unclean or unworthy of salvation. Also, did he not command us, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel unto all peoples"?
As for baptizing them, God baptized them with the Holy Spirit. Surely then, we should baptize them with water. Is it not clear that God gives the Gentiles the same gift that he gives us when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Who am I to try to stop God? Rather, I must obey the command to preach the gospel to every nation, tongue, and people.
Praise unto the Lord, for he has given to the Gentiles and to every man the opportunity to repent and be saved.
Continue the Bible story tomorrow. And if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
X, God promises to extend grace.
Really?
What?
Prayer is talking to God.
You figured that out all by yourself, did you?
Let me explain. When you pray, you're talking to God. You know, the creator of the entire universe. The greatest power that exists. No one knows more than God does.
So?
Well, whenever you have a problem, you're supposed to get help. Right?
Right.
Like, if you're sick, you want the best doctor. Right?
Right.
And if your car breaks down, you want the best mechanic. Right?
Right.
And if you're hungry, you want the best cook to fix you food, like my mom. Right?
So
when you have a problem, a serious problem, like you're worried about something, or scared about something, or someone is mean to you, you want to find the best help there is. That would be God.
Carlos, are you worried about something?
No.
Are you scared about something?
No.
Is someone mean to you?
No.
So why do you need to pray?
I'm just saying that praying is like reminding yourself that there's someone just waiting to help you when you have a serious problem. Like when something bad happens, you can say, "Hey God, I'm your old friend, and I have a serious problem." And he's ready to give you some good ideas on how to deal with it.
In other words, praying is like keeping the door to heaven open?
Wow, that's beautiful, Dora.
Hey, I can figure things out too, you know.
Jesus wants to be our friend. He's interested in everything we do and longs to be included in our lives. He has placed in our hearts a desire to share our deepest secrets and brightest hopes with Him. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
So brown and gray, you make such a sad, sad sound. But you won't be a mourning dove that day when the Lord of the earth comes down. Hey, willow tree with the falling leaves that flow like tears to the ground. You won't be a weeping on that day when the Lord of the earth comes down. You'll be
a laughing willow and a dancing dove.
Joint you hold that day when the Lord of the Earth comes down.
like the
laughing willow and the dancing dove. Made brand new by the Lord of love. No more sorrow, only joy above. Laughing willow and the dancing dove.
And little face so sad, does it seem your life is turning out so bad? Well, the Lord of love, give it half a chance, makes your heart to smile and your feet to dance. Like the
laughing willow and the dancing dove, made brand new by the Lord of love. No more sorrow,
happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Do you ever feel left out, like your friends want to be with someone else instead of you? What if you really needed those friends to help you solve a mystery? Chris and Maria discover an old safe in their grandparents' basement, but no one knows the combination. Who gave them money to build the cross above Mill Valley? Chris and Maria think the answer is inside the old safe. As they follow the clues, Chris learns some important lessons about friendship and jealousy, and about being a Christian. Chapter 2, The Missing Combination. Who's great-grandpa? Yo-Yo sputtered with soup in her mouth. Who's great-grandpa? Grandma gently wiped Yo-Yo's mouth. When you've finished your supper, Yo-Yo, I'll show you some pictures of great-grandpa Archer. Grandma looked at Chris and Maria. I've looked through all your great-grandpa's things, all his papers. I didn't see anything that might be a combination, Grandma said. Chris and Maria sighed, feeling let down. Chris felt sure there was something valuable inside that old safe. Maybe great-grandpa put some money in there, or gold or something, he said. Grandma shook her head. If I thought there was anything of value in that old safe, I would have had it opened years ago. But if you kids would like to look for the combination, those boxes sitting beside the safe have a lot of your great-grandpa's things in them. Chris's eyes lighted up. Can we look? Grandma smiled. Yes, you may, but only after you eat. Yo-Yo and I will go into the living room and look at the photo album while you're looking for clues. Chris cleaned up his bowl of soup in a flash. Maria was right behind him when he headed for the door leading downstairs. Grandma had mentioned the word clues. He and Maria would be looking for clues, just like real detectives. Wait, Maria said, maybe we should get a flashlight. Remember, that light bulb over the safe has burned out. Good idea, Chris agreed. When they returned, Maria pulled the safe's blanket all the way off while Chris uncovered the boxes Grandma had said held some of great-grandpa's things. I feel weird looking at these things, Maria said when she knelt down to look in the boxes with Chris. Great-grandpa died a long time ago. He never even knew us. Chris nodded solemnly. I wish I could have known him. Mom says he wrote lots of important books. He examined an old camera and set it on the floor beside him. Then he picked out an old pair of glasses. The metal was tarnished and one of the earpieces was loose. Look at these old things. Do you suppose Great-grandpa Archer used these when he wrote? Chris handed the glasses to Maria, and she turned them over in her hands again and again. I think he did, Maria said. You know what? I feel like I know Great-grandpa better already. Here's an old dictionary. Chris held up a book with the cover about ready to fall off. What's this? Maria said excitedly, pulling out some pictures held together with a rubber band. The rubber band was so old and brittle it broke when she tried to take it off. Time had even made the pictures a little bit yellow and faded.
Scooting around next to Maria, Chris looked at the pictures with her. "I think he looked better without a beard than with one," Maria said. "Let me see," Chris muttered. He flipped through the pictures. "I don't see anywhere where he's not wearing a beard." "Not in any of those, but I saw a picture of him somewhere, and he wasn't wearing a beard in it," Maria stated. Chris looked at his sister suspiciously. He had never seen such a picture. "Where did you see a picture like that?" Maria shrugged. "I don't remember. I must have seen it when I was real little." "Oh, well, it doesn't matter, I guess." Chris pulled some more items out of the box. He found a big round cookie tin with a lid on it. Jiggling it, he discovered something rattling around inside. After prying at the lid for several seconds, he finally got it off. "What'd you find?" Maria asked. Chris stared inside the tin without speaking. "Wow, look at this. I know I've seen this somewhere before." He held up a wooden figurine that stood about 10 inches tall and was drawing an arrow. "It just looks like some old Indian shooting an arrow," Maria said. "We're supposed to be looking for the combination to the safe, remember?" "It's not an Indian," Chris stated. "I think it's a soldier, like those guys hundreds of years ago in England. See, he's wearing mail armor." Maria shrugged. "I don't care." Suddenly, a huge shadow fell across Maria and Chris and the safe. Neither Grandma nor Yo-Yo would cast a shadow that big, Chris thought. He couldn't make himself turn to see who it was. He noticed that Maria's eyes were big and round as if she had just seen a ghost. "What are you two doing down here?" a big voice boomed. Chris had heard that voice before, every weekend, as a matter of fact. He spun around and looked up. "Whew! What are you doing down here, Pastor Hill?" "Your grandmother said you were down here going through some things. I thought I would come down and say hi before I left. I just dropped by to tell her that the city of Mill Valley is planning a 50th anniversary celebration this Easter weekend to commemorate the building of the cross that stands on the hill above town." "I didn't know that cross was so old," Maria said. "Neither did I," Chris added. Pastor Hill knelt down. "To tell you the truth, neither did I until the mayor called me about the celebration. It's a great idea, but no one seems to know who donated it. One thing the mayor wanted to do is have a special award for the person who donated the money to build the cross. Be sure and tell your parents about it, too," he said. When Pastor Hill left, Maria turned slowly back to Chris. Her eyes were sparkling, but her face was almost white. She was excited and worried at the same time. "Chris, I think I know who donated the money to build the cross. I think it was Great-Grandpa Archer."
Heard today is a chapter of the Shoebox Kids, Book 4, The Missing Combination Mystery, written by Eric Stoffel, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.